This is DW News live from Berlin. Spain declares a state of emergency and introduces a nighttime curfew to curb the coronavirus. Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez says he will ask Parliament to keep the new rules in place until May next year. Emergency rule could also see internal borders close. Also coming up, Chile votes on whether to replace its constitution. Social discontent and civil unrest over the dictatorship-era charter prompted the ballot. We'll cross to the Chilean capital, Santiago, for more. And in Bundesliga football, Bremen were almost relegated last season, but have been significantly better form this campaign. On Sunday night, they put themselves to the test against Hoffenheim. I'm Ola Alsaka. Welcome to the program. People across Spain are spending their first night under a new curfew in a bid to battle a major resurgence in coronavirus cases. On Sunday, Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez declared a state of emergency and told Spaniards the country is facing an extreme situation. Spain's regions will also have power to impose even tighter curbs on movement and close regional borders. Nearly 35,000 people have died from COVID-19 in Spain.
Spain is caught in a second wave of the coronavirus. Regional leaders are desperate to stop the pandemic spread and to save lives. At least 9 regions have called for a national response plan. Until then, some implemented their own restrictions. Curfews closed restaurants and bars early in Castilla and León, forcing residents off the streets from 10 in the evening until 6 in the morning. The curfew is good for those who are my age who are drinking a lot in the streets because things can get out of control and then what happens, happens. I'm a doctor and I think the curfew is a good idea, but we must take more personal responsibility so that our economy doesn't suffer. So I agree with the measure. More measures are on the way. Spanish Prime Minister Pedro Sanchez issued a state of emergency on Sunday.
The situation we're living in is extreme. This is the worst medical emergency that we've lived through since our constitution was approved, the worst in the last century. That's why we're approving a state of emergency again, because this is the best tool to keep the virus at bay.
Nationwide, the country is under curfew from 11 at night until 6 in the morning. And now local authorities have the power to ban travel between regions. Only the Canary Islands is exempt. The Prime Minister is asking the Parliament for an extension of the new rules so that they can remain in place until May. Spain became the first European nation to record 1 million coronavirus cases last week. When the pandemic first hit, Spain imposed tough restrictions. The Prime Minister doesn't want to go back to that. He hopes these new measures will be enough to keep people safe.
For more, DW reporter Paulo Folly Elias joins me. Paulo, the Spanish Prime Minister says this is an extreme situation. How does it compare to the spring?
Well, it is, in fact, an extreme situation. The numbers are not looking good. There's over 400 cases per 100,000. It's up there with among the worst in Europe, you know, such as France, Italy and Belgium. But, of course, we compared the situation back to the spring when testing wasn't happening to the same degree as is happening now. The number of people who are actually dying of COVID on a day-to-day level, you know, were around the 1,000 mark back in the spring. And now it's still very worrying. We're talking over 100 to 200 people dying in Spain every day. So it is an extreme situation. It is worrying, but it is also a very big country with big regional variations. Some regions, such as Navarra in the north, have very high numbers, but then the Canary Islands, which isn't even part of this because the numbers there are so low. So it basically gives a little bit of legal backing to those autonomies to deal with the situation.
So we're seeing varying numbers across the country. How will this, what does this mean for Spaniards in practical terms?
Well, it's very worrying, obviously, as you can imagine, not just because of this recent surge in numbers, particularly since the summer. Some regions are faring worse than others. But essentially what it is that it's limiting people's movements. And a lot of people have been talking about the fact that in Spain, and everyone knows this, the numbers are going up because people are getting together, whether that be families and friends, and particularly particularly at night time. And there's been a lot of focus on young people, sometimes unfairly as well, because it's not just young people who are doing it. So this is going to essentially limit people's social life and also the possibility of limiting movement within the country too.
Now, Spain had a state of emergency earlier this year. It ended over the summer. How has this new state of emergency been received in Spain?
Well, it's been mixed. Overall, we saw it there with the lady in the report. You know, a lot of people have accepted that something needed to be done. And also just the way Spain works structurally, you know, it's a large country with autonomous communities, which essentially are like states. And they're the ones who are going to be in charge of dealing with the situation in their region so they can cut themselves off if they need to. And also the central government essentially gives them the legal backing that they need. And also, there is a feeling in Spain that something needs to be done. Obviously, like everywhere, people are feeling jaded. They're worried. They don't know what's going to happen. But this is not the same as what we had back in the spring. People are not going to be, you know, stuck in their homes for months like they were back in March and April. But there are going to be restrictions with regards to how they go about their business. And we're, you know, there's a lot of concerns. Also, once again, we saw it in the report, with regards to the economy, how is this going to affect people's lives? Bars, restaurants particularly, that's a big part of the Spanish culture. And of course, tourism is going to be impacted. The only glimmer of hope that we have is that things are looking better in the Canary Islands.
Pablo Foley, Elias, thank you very much. Now, let's have a look at some other developments in the coronavirus pandemic. France has reported a record of more than 52,000 new coronavirus cases in the last 24 hours. Italy's prime minister says new restrictions should help bring the soaring national caseload under control in the coming weeks. Measures include early closing for restaurants and bars. And Bulgarian Prime Minister Boyko Borisov has tested positive for COVID-19. He and three cabinet ministers have begun quarantining. To Chile now, where voters are deciding whether to keep the existing constitution or to bring in a new one drafted by a group of specially elected citizens. The current document was adopted during the military dictatorship of Augusto Pinochet. It's been the focus of mass protest over the last year against inequality and elitism.
It is a referendum that could change the course of this nation. Chileans know their votes could more fully distance the country from a dark past, and many say balance inequality in one of the region's richest economies. This is not just any Sunday, it's a historic Sunday. Today is the day that Chile literally writes that it has awakened. Tonight, when we learn the results, whatever the outcome may be, let's respect the people's choice and make a firm and clear stand for democracy and not anarchy, for peace and not violence, for unity and not division. The route to Chile's referendum went through this subway station a year ago, an impromptu protest over a rise in fares that led to huge demonstrations for social and economic change. Their main success, a vote on whether to throw out the old constitution, supported again by massive street demonstrations like this one last Sunday in favor of change to Chile's approach to governance. But thousands have also come out against change. No, they said, to a rewrite of the constitution. We'll keep the same constitution and make the necessary reforms. At the polls on Sunday, those voting no insist the government working within the present constitution will help those left behind. Those who want a new version of what Chile calls its Magna Carta say it's time to start from scratch with the participation of the people.
For more DW's Johan Ramirez joins us from Chile, where polls have just closed. Johan, you're in a central square there in the capital, Santiago. It's been a focus of protests before. What's happening there tonight?
Yeah, some hour ago, this place was a kind of a battleground between protesters and the police that was here. People came and started gathering around to celebrate in advance what they already claim as a victory in this referendum. and the police was here. This is the main square, the Italy Square, that had been the hot spot of the protest for a year. So they wanted to be here, and the police was there to prevent them to come, and clashes were inevitable. After a while, the police decided to go back, and protesters just took the place. And now there are thousands of people coming here. They started gathering around to celebrate in advance what they already assume as a victory in this referendum. They already assumed that Chile will have a new constitution. So it's the beginning of what could be a big gathering in this place tonight.
What do we know about the voter turnout in Chile today?
Yeah, poll stations have just closed a few minutes ago at 8 p.m. local time. Poll station closes. The authorities anticipated that a huge participation was took place in this day. We saw all day long thousands of people in the streets making long lines in the polls stations because this is a very important election. In other elections, people used to not a lot of people used to vote. I mean, like in the last the most attended election in the last few years, we had just 50% of the universe of electors here in Chile. And today, authorities expect a big participation. It shows how important this event, this referendum, is for Chile.
So, a high voter turnout. Which side would benefit from that?
Yeah, the acceptance option is expect to have this referendum, I mean to win this referendum, and then we'll start a long process until a new constitution could be drafted and then approved also in a referendum. So today is a very big moment, but just a first step from here to the new constitution, if this option finally wins. Tonight, we have to wait up to 2 years, so it's a long process. And the questions that many are asking themselves is how these social reforms are going to be accomplished just in short time. I mean, this country needs profound social changes that just a referendum cannot make. So this country needs public policies to put in place really changes and reforms, profound reforms, inequality, and to change health systems, economy, education, and a lot of problems. So that's what people expect tonight. So, but this is just the beginning, one step that at least 2 years could last. We expect the results just in 1.5 hours, more or less. That's what authorities have anticipated.
Okay, so waiting for the results. They will check in with you through the coming hours. Johan Ramirez in Santiago de Chile, thank you. In sports now, and in the Bundesliga, Werder Bremen barely escaped relegation last season, but they've started strongly this time around and are flying high in the Bundesliga table. They were hoping to prove their credentials for a European place against visitors Hoffenheim, who hadn't lost their last 6 trips to Bremen.
Bremen looked determined to make the most of their Houdini-like escape from relegation last season. And they made a confident start here. There were only 5 minutes on the clock when Maximilian Eggestein converted a cross from Theodor Gebrselassie to make it 1-0. But Hoffenheim have proved their mettle at the top of the league year after year now, and they struck back through Dennis Geiger on 22 minutes. Neither side could conjure a winner, but the draw means Bremen extend their unbeaten run to 4 league games, a form that has to satisfy coach Florian Kohfeldt after last season's near catastrophe.
In the early Bundesliga game on Sunday, Wolfsburg got their first win of the season by beating freshly promoted Bielefeld 2-1. Maxi Arnold pulled off some trickery and deceit on a free kick in the 19th minute, and Wout Weghorst opened the scoring. Everyone was, of course, expecting Arnold to shoot directly on goal. Credit to Weghorst for his smooth finish. That's it. You're up to date. I'm Ole Alsaker in Berlin. Thanks for